Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Tone, good morning. Audio courtesy of TNT. Hello.
TNT, they got nationally televised bowl game between perspective, you know, first round matchup or second round matchup, I should say, against Indiana.
It's odd because we got to keep everybody up to date on this. Yeah, well, we got to keep everybody up to date on this because I go, gosh, the Pacers could catch the Knicks. There's maybe drama here. Now, if the Knicks win tonight against the Cavs, is that it? The Knicks get the 3 seed? Okay. So, I mean, if the Cavs beat the Knicks, then it's up for grabs because the Pacers have to win out here over the rest of the week, or weekend, I should say. And then that would put the Pacers maybe at the 3, the Knicks at the 4, and then possibly, as you said, a second-round matchup, Knicks or Pacers in the second round. Boy, the Knicks, that would be... That would be an interesting one. That would be both teams are good. Both teams I give credit to. But obviously, with the history with the Knicks, that would be a little bit of fun. We get our buddy Jerry Ferrara in here. Well, then have some fun with that.
And
that might
Knicks,
be cool.
The Knicks are weird to forecast because they just really haven't been their full team all year. And they've been just waiting. They're like, we'll turn it on come playoff time.
Yes.
But we don't know. I mean, because Brunson's been injured, and obviously Mitchell Robinson has been injured. And they've just had weird pockets of the season where... They haven't, like, the Cavs have actually been as healthy as any team in the league, any of the good teams, I should say.
Go ahead.
So is tonight a must lose?
No, I don't think so.
Because if you win and the Pacers win, then it comes down to you play the Pacers on Sunday, and if the Pacers win and the Knicks lose again, the Pacers get the 3 seed, and then you play the Knicks in the second round.
Yeah, I don't think.
Instead of the Knicks playing the Celtics in the second round.
I don't think there's any real, like last year we saw what they did the last game of the year and they got crushed by their local fans. People here in Cleveland were so mad. And I remember.
I was mad. I remember being mad.
I was mad. Yeah.
I didn't understand what the big deal was. That was obviously an organizational move. That wasn't like a JB Bickerstaff thing. And, you know, I don't think anybody even really cares about it today, but.
I was mad then. I don't care now.
Yeah. Because they're a different team this year, even though they're the same team, but. They're differently coached.
Yeah.
But people were so down on them picking their opponent last year the way they did and going out the way they did that I didn't necessarily understand it at the time. And I was like, guys, the playoffs are starting. Can we get excited about the playoffs?
I think because we were getting so mad at JB, and rightfully so or not rightfully so, you know, that's a long time ago. That was a year ago. But we were getting so mad, I felt like, if they would have lost to Orlando in that 7-game series, it almost felt like the fans and myself was like, you get what you deserve. Like, you've picked this opponent, now they're giving you fits, and if you lose this, you get what you deserve. And I think that there was something in there where you wanted them to win, but at the same time, if they would have lost, you would have been able to rub their nose in it. And then they went and they lost to Boston in the second round, which was what a lot of people thought was going to happen. It ended up being a fine enough season. They moved on from JB, and everybody's happy now. But I think that this year... I'm just focused on everybody staying healthy. You want to play Tristan Thompson 48 minutes, you go right on ahead and play Tristan Thompson 48 minutes. You want to get thrown out over Tristan Thompson, you go right on ahead and get thrown out over Tristan Thompson. What did you think of that yesterday? High drama.
I assumed after the way that looked and that particular play and his particular outrage, I almost wonder if somebody bet him before the game, like, you're not going to get thrown out today, are you? Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to get thrown out. I bet you won't. No, you'll see. I'll get thrown out. And then he got thrown out because that looked like the most premeditated, I'm going to pick a point in this game and get thrown out that I have ever seen.
Okay. Did it kind of resemble like Gene Hackman and Hoosiers?
Yeah. That's exactly
throw
right.
Throw me out of here. I'm going to kick and scream.
Let me do this.
Okay. Yeah. Reckless speculation.
I didn't think it looked premeditated to me.
There was no reason on that play to get ejected from the game.
Well, was there a lead up to it?
The fact that Tristan was one of the few guys even in the game, I think maybe Indiana fans even had any idea who that was. It just seemed, we've seen Kenny Atkinson all year. We've seen 1,000 times worse calls than that one. And the fact that it was him and he was the veteran, and it almost was like, I don't really want to have him, you know, in the fourth quarter. Tristan might have told him to, like, come on.
That's incredible.
This was just, if you read Chris Fedor even
go ahead and read Chris.
Fedor even said in this, he refers to Atkinson as a mad genius. The quirky mad genius, like,
great. I can't say anymore. I'm gonna end up in a meeting after the show, so I can't say anything more.
Then everything he does, he says Atkinson is a quirky mad scientist. Oh, everything he does has a purpose.
I know a lot of scientists that go into the lab and go, I'm gonna get thrown out of this lab today.
Well, just especially game 80.
Well, I'm sorry, we
haven't seen that from him all year. He's gonna pick it to be that game as opposed to,
yeah,
you know, a game against the Boston Celtics.
So you think this was by design? I think he's legitimately mad.
No, I think it's. I think he got himself legitimately mad because he knew the assignment.
What was he, just to prove that you'd back up your guys?
No, I don't know the reason. Like, I can't tell you the reason. It almost seems like something that was set up before the game. Because I just can't imagine him.
So Tristan's going to get games,
of all the guys, of all the situations.
I don't
they
agree.
They have had so many bigger games than that one.
I don't he agree.
So you don't think it is any coincidence whatsoever?
I think it's the biggest coincidence ever? I think he's using an opportunity. Like, I'm not saying he didn't get thrown out. Like, he didn't find the opportunity to get thrown out on purpose here. This is in the game. I don't think he planned before the game to get thrown out over Tristan Thompson. That's what you're saying. I don't think that.
So we had 79 games that mattered, and then yesterday the game where they said, this game clearly doesn't matter, and he just, he gets ejected.
But he made it matter. He made it matter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why did he choose that? Why did he make that?
Because he wants to show everybody that he's going to defend all 15 players on the roster, including Tristan Thompson, who is a human victory cigar at this point in his career, but he's playing the entire game, and they're thinking, damn it, they fouled my guy. I didn't get the call. Maybe he's been getting fouled the entire game. I'm going to defend this guy. He's a veteran. He's a champion.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think before the game.
But I think he did it before the game.
I think he made up his mind that this was going to be a game he was going to do it because Darius Garland has had moments. Like, why wouldn't he stick up for Darius Garland? Like, he's had moments and in much bigger games.
He's been thrown out of the game once already this year, right? He got teed up.
He hasn't been teed up. Okay. Yeah, but that was by far the most emotion he has shown
all year. Yes. But they need him during those games with Darius Garland. Do they need him now?
I think the minute he got in the tunnel, he was laughing with his buddies.
Like, 316.
Did you see that? He's texting his buddies.
I disagree with you.
Did you guys see it? I did it. I told you I was going to do it, and I did it.
216-474-0092. Did Kenny do this premeditated? Was this something he planned on before they hit the floor last night? I don't think so. We have Kenny Atkinson. I didn't write it down in the chat. Give me Atkinson 03 when you get a chance over here about why it went down. Here's Kenny on the ejection here.
I don't regret that one. It's Tristan Thompson. He's 14 years in the league. And quite honestly, if it was anybody, right? But to get pushed in the back, a blatant foul like that, there was enough scrum, so it wasn't like the refs were... Listen, these refs doing a phenomenal job, right? And they missed calls, but I felt like that was a moment you have to stand up for your guys and to stand up for Tristan. So I'll take that one every day of the week.
This is some pretty passionate act. I mean, he's cussing these guys out. He is full on. Like, you can see him. I saw him mouth BS. Let's go back to the videotape. Yeah, he is full-fledged letting him have. Look, he's running right up to the ref there on the sideline. You don't believe any of this.
No.
You think this is all premeditated. Yes. This is unbelievable by you.
And it's just, again,
you can't believe a man could get lost in his emotions over a veteran.
I think you can once you get drummed up and you decide. Like, the Pacers are, like, making fun of Tristan. They're like, what just happened? Go watch the replay. It is hilarious of all the fouls that have been so much worse than that.
How old is Kenny Atkinson?
Is he old enough to know better?
Wait a minute here. Him getting removed, he's 57. Honestly, he looks like you being removed from my son's graduation party. In 15 years, you look like this is you getting removed from Jonah's graduation party, yelling at people. He looks exactly like you in 15 years. You're 43, right? This is you. You both got good hair. His is a little bit better than yours, if I can be honest with you. I'm sorry. I give him a little bit more credit than that. Maybe I'm...
No, Owen? That's the thing. I am giving him credit. I'm giving him credit because this had to be hilarious to everybody around the Cavs yesterday.
It seems like a schoolyard fight where he's going, hey, you're going to have to hold me back on this one.
Well, yeah, watch. Go ahead and watch me.
Yeah.
I can't believe... Okay. Whatever. I totally disagree.
Ty Jerome looks like... Kenny, what are you doing?
Like, I wonder too if it was before, right? That's why I wonder if it was like at some point in the season, like, you know, coach, you haven't been ejected yet. Oh, okay. How many games do I have left?
Do you have to get ejected every season?
These guys
have to meet a quota.
These guys over the course of a long season, because every coach gets ejected at some point. Even the most mild mannered of coaches get ejected at some point. That looked like, oh yeah, I haven't been ejected yet. Like someone might have told him at some point, maybe it was during the game. They're like, hey, you know you haven't got ejected
Someone's
yet.
Someone's goaded him, and hey, they think you're, those refs think you're soft.
Yeah, right. You're going to let him get away with that?
I got to tell you, I'm surprised. I thought that, I don't think that this is, I don't think you can premeditate something with Tristan Thompson for all people. So maybe he gets, if he gets a free lane and someone puts a finger on him out of nowhere, I don't think that this is the case. I think that he felt that he was bullied, or not bullied, but... he was hacked the entire game, didn't get his fouls. This is a legitimate basketball game. I do think he found an opportunity. If he's going to get worked up, maybe he was watching a little bit closer to prove. But, what you're saying is, you're smiling at me like I'm the biggest idiot who ever lived. Like, I'm believing all the things that have ever happened that are fake or real.
It's also a spot where Tristan made the shot.
But...
Tristan's laughing. That's the thing. And TJ McConnell and him are joking at, because this game was such a, the fact that it was a close game for the Pacers is kind of embarrassing at home with the Cavs having none of their starters basically in the game.
But if your players aren't going to get anything out of it and they're just going to think you're a goofball, why do it? Why do it? If you're not going to get any respect out of your players for doing it, what was the point of doing it? That's why I disagree with you. Like, if they just think it's a goofy gag like you do, then what was the point of doing all this?
Kenny, it's a long...
They're supposed to know this better than you are.
It is a long NBA season.
All right.
And the Cavs look like they are just about ready for the playoffs. And Kenny Atkinson's like, yep, this is the time. Haven't done it all year. Now's the time.
All right. I guess you're just Red Auerbach, and I don't know basketball. That's okay. That's fine.
I don't think you need to get mad about it. It's just a disagreement.
Are you now claiming that not only are you the football guy... You're the basketball guy too,
because
Anthony's been the basketball guy.
I didn't say, but I don't. You know, when he says silly things about football, I don't belittle him. I don't talk down to him. Should I start doing that? Rubbing his nose into it?
I think it's late in the show season. I think it's time for you to.
It's
take
early.
One.
It's April.
I think
we haven't even gotten to the Brown season yet. Oh no,
People are going to think this is premeditated, and Ken's going to walk out of the studio.
Some people think we have scripts.
No, he'd never do that.
I've done that before, but that wasn't premeditated. There are some people who think we have scripts for crying out loud, which is ridiculous. But either way, I wanted to give him credit. I guess I don't have to give him credit. So the writer from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer, who I have a gag order on and I'm not allowed to mention, then maybe he's he right or is he wrong? Is it because... If he's a mad genius, quote unquote, well then if the players aren't taking it seriously and you aren't taking it seriously, then what's the point of doing it? Maybe he's not a mad genius for it. You want him to take it seriously, fine. But we are watching the postseason anyway and see what they can do, because actually now there's something to I don't know if it's to play for or not play for, but there's something to watch now at the end of the year because they'll play tonight and you will have a bunch of people. Will Ty Jerome start again?
Yeah, I imagine so. Okay. Or, you know what?
They're just trying to run this group back.
No,
right?
I was trying to figure out because you're not just sitting everybody for the final two games, are they? I mean, they obviously.
And we saw Jalen Tyson and Javonte Green on the last rotation.
Yeah,
we did. Now DeAndre Hunter started yesterday.
Special.
So
yeah.
maybe DeAndre Hunter gets
Hunter
a game off.
Hunter and Okoro played the bulk of the minutes.
Yeah.
I want to make my son sit down and watch this game tonight against the Knicks and watch Javonte Green and Tristan Thompson and all those. And I go, this is what it was like right after LeBron left the first time. Do you see? I want you to see what this is, what this was every night. This was Samardo Samuels in my day, son. I want you to appreciate what you're watching right now because this was every night.
Ramon Sessions.
Oh, man, Ramon Sessions. Saw him play in college. Keith Dambrot loved him.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, last night was a bit of what I call a mixed bag loss for the Cleveland Cavaliers, 114-112, because, yes, you are losing to a potential playoff matchup in the Indiana Pacers, but without four of your starters in the game, not much being taken into effect there. But I want to play this clip for you guys. This is Kenny Atkinson after yesterday's game talking about the potential of the Cavs facing off with the Pacers in the postseason for what would be the first time since 2018.
I really loved how we competed tonight. We defended. This is a team eventually maybe you're facing in the playoffs, so they understand we got a deep team. So that was good too.
I'd like to know where the Pacers fans are at today, being in the Eastern Conference Finals last year and last night losing to basically a Cavs B team. Where do you think your confidence is in the playoffs going from there?
Well, for them, I think that they kind of got the luck of the draw because I felt that the Cavs were better last year. Did you feel the Cavs were better than the Indiana Pacers last year?
Yeah.
They had a hell of a run, don't get me wrong. But this is why I guess I have to admit that they were right. While I didn't like it, they were right to pick and choose who their opponent was going to be at the end of last year because, you see, you can get a good draw, good matchups, and you can end up taking a nice deep run in the postseason and looking differently. It puts more expectations on you the next year, and maybe you're not really ready to do that, but damn it, you see where that's going. So, and if you're Indiana, like, now they'll ask questions if they don't go far enough in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, so the thing about Indiana, they have been red hot, you know, the last month. But you've always got to be careful reading too much. And by the way, I'm being fair. We could do this for Darius Garland too, because I've been wondering what's going on with Darius. Now Darius has been 2 months, but typically when you look at March into April, it is a weird time to assess these teams because there's different motivations.
Yeah,
you've got a bunch of tanking teams. Like I can't remember this many teams. You know, in the Eastern Conference where it was bad, you know, the entire time we had LeBron. But I don't remember this many teams tanking. Now, Halliburton has turned into all-star Halliburton the last month. Now, is that because they're feeding on a bunch of bad teams? But he has found his game. Remember, he struggled at the start of the year. So that's an interesting matchup in the way that they kind of play helter-skelter, the way they space things out and they try to, you know, really get the pace going. I do wonder how much of it is against just inferior competition. I'm not really worried about the Pacers at all.
I don't think I am. If I'm sorry, I thought you were asking from their perspective. I'm not really as worried as I think that they're a good. They can be a good defensive matchup and give you a little bit of fits, but no, I think the team that you should sincerely be worried about is Boston. Everybody else would be a disappointment.
I agree. Last night, I would take even Detroit as a potential tougher playoff matchup at this point than Indiana.
Just based
on the potential.
I'm not fighting you.
No. I'm not
fighting you.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Yeah.
You're good.
All
you're good.
Good. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You know what else is good?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
But the Cleveland Guardians, after beating the Chicago White Sox yesterday 6-1, a sweep of the Chi Sox, probably going to be the worst team in the league again now at 2-10. This is Stephen Kwan. Yesterday, we had a couple of big hits, a two-run home run, an RBI hit, a bunt RBI. He had talked about the momentum that the Guardians are able to gain after the sweep.
Yeah, just huge for momentum. Just seeing some wins come down, get some confidence for all the boys. We did a lot of good things, so hopefully we can take that to the next series and beyond.
Now, I know it's the White Sox. I know it's not a great team.
I'll take any wins we can get at the beginning of the season in cold weather. Are you kidding me?
Thank you.
Jacob Junis, Joey Cantillo, Cantillo.
Yeah.
Damn it. No, because somebody in this room said Cantillo the weird way, and then now it's in my head. Actually, they weren't in this room. They were in the hallway at the time. So now it's in my head. Sorry. And Gavin Williams went 5 strong.
Struck out 7. They're back to 500. Like, can we just kind of reset now?
Quite.
Because this was the amount, the fever pitch that the anti-Guardians, anti-Dolan, anti-all of that, because they started out and they were away and, you know, you wonder, were people even watching? Were people even all in? I think now you're back to 500. Thank God for the White Sox. Thank God they're in our division. They are putrid.
I'll take it. Now
we start a series against Kansas City, and let's go. Hopefully it warms up a little bit.
Stephen Kwan had a 2-run bing bong.
Yeah.
I think, what was he, 4-for-4 on the day?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And I was watching the TV, of course, as one's wont to do while watching Guardians baseball.
I always close my eyes.
Andre mentioned that they're getting close to a deal. Getting close to a deal with Stephen Kwan and the Cleveland Guardians.
Would be amazing.
It would be very nice. I don't know if they're going to play baseball games next year, but either way.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't get a deal done before opening day, you know, the thought from most people that kind of monitor these situations is, uh-oh. So the fact that those
lines
of communication.
For this organization, they usually, if they're doing it, it's that last week between spring training and the game.
The fact that the lines of communication are still open, it's not going to be some big distraction either. It certainly doesn't seem to be. I think that is a source of a lot of optimism.
Very much is.
Now going from baseball to football, yesterday, Shedeur Sanders making the media rounds as we are less than 2 weeks from the upcoming NFL draft. And Shedeur was on the Insiders yesterday on NFL Network talking with the guys about some of the press clippings he's heard about certain criticisms about his game.
It's extremely fun. I feel like we're going to just start. It's just funny to see what they come up with next. You know, because at first it was the arm wasn't strong. I had a lot of touchdowns in my college career. Then it was I pat the ball. That wasn't a thing before Pro Day, wasn't it? So I don't get in trouble off the field, so it's kind of hard from the creation storyline for the media to keep the algorithm going. So it's just going to be fun with the next story.
That NFL contract, you can buy better internet. I heard somebody in the hallway. I'm not going to mention who. They are not in this room, and they were upset, or they said, "Oh, I hate it when players blame the media." That's just a page out of his dad's book. That's all that is. Because anytime, see, this is what makes it impossible when it comes to Deion, and honestly, not yet with Deion's family, but when it comes to Deion, if you challenge Deion at all, he always seems to come out on top with a win. Always seems to come out on top with his career, comes out on top as a head coach. So it's very hard to challenge Deion Sanders, and he will always go after the media. And so, of course, the apple's not going to fall far from the tree, and he hears these things. It's easy to go after because it's a nameless gray face that people can go after in total. But some of this stuff has got to be a little... Now, the ball padding stuff, I mean, Greg Cosell was on yesterday. He said that doesn't matter, which you can hear 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app. But some of the other things, like, yeah, there's going to be, if he were a perfect prospect, he'd be going number one. He's not a perfect prospect, which is why I think that Lewis Riddick had to come to his defense, and I'll talk more about that later. But if he were a perfect prospect, he wouldn't have to defend himself. Some of this stuff, yeah, there's going to be a couple of warts on his type of game, Shedeur Sanders.
Well, Cosell also talked yesterday when he was on with us about, you know, holding the ball with one hand a little bit. There's some mechanical things, but he does throw guys open. And so you wonder, is he more of a feel guy? And is that something we should be nervous about or something you can embrace? Because obviously we know that when guys are under duress, they start going to some bad habits despite what they've been coached. That was Tim Tebow was the king of that. Every year they would talk about Tim Tebow has fixed all the mechanical things. And that's fine. They would show him working on stuff with quarterback gurus. But that's always defended against air or by air. Once guys are barreling down on you, what do? You go back to your bad habits.
Julius Peppers and all those guys, they're a little bit different than guys running around with brooms after you. And that's a very difficult thing to break, because to keep a calm head when you're under duress only comes with game reps. But you want to be able to put the guy out there in game reps and have a chance to win. So it's a very difficult task what a quarterback's trying to do. If there's any major criticism, though, the holding the ball with one hand thing, that's one of them. But the other major criticism is that, yes, it's not where he locks in. He's just holding onto the ball for a very long period of time because he wants to go down the field. And he will tend to drift into the clutches of a defensive end because of that.
And finally, we go over to the links. Actually, it's not the links because Augusta National is a Parkland course. The Masters yesterday, round one in the book, says, I am all on the Rory McIlroy completing the slam train. I don't know where you guys are on that, but pair of double bogeys kind of sank McIlroy's round yesterday to even par. The leader right now, Justin Rose, the Englishman, at 7 under par with Corey Connors and American Scottie Scheffler at 4 under just behind.
I watched a little bit of it yesterday. I guess I want Rory to win because I guess I'm a PGA guy, but man, LIV Golf did everything it could to kill the sport for me. Mentioned that yesterday. I'm sorry, Tone. Maybe you got something better for him. I'm not sure.
What's wrong with that, though? I mean, the fact that yesterday you got to see those guys from LIV that are back in there.
But it just reminds me of what
I do
could
enjoy
be.
That dynamic a little bit. Like, it is nice to finally see those guys again.
Yeah, it is. And it's when they're not hidden on a Thursday in a 3-round tournament, like, it would be just a lot better if they got something together and went back to the way things were, because you just sit there and you realize what you're missing. It's much better when all those guys are together. It sucks. It's the same. I brought it up and Owen rolled his eyes because, you know, I'm an auto racing guy. It's like when Kart, IndyCar, they split and they had that weird split and it started to kill motorsports.
I completely agree. We all talk about Kart and IndyCar.
Well, that's why you rolled your eyes.
Why is
come on, guys?
Why is Scottie Scheffler, who has just been so dynamic as a golfer, he brings it every single week. He's as consistent as it gets. He's won the Masters, you know, a couple of times. He's had these runner ups already, PGA Championship, U.S. Open. Why does he not do it for me or anybody else I know? Why is this guy so good at golf and is just so not interesting?
Because he's not as good as Tiger was, and he's kind of milquetoast, and I mean, the biggest thing he really did, he got arrested when it wasn't his fault. That's about it. That's a pretty interesting story, but that was a morning. That was it. I'm telling you, if they all got back together, it would be much more interesting.
It is just funny. Like, golf at its core is just these guys that are so good just demolishing the golf ball off the tee. Okay, he does all that stuff.
Yeah.
He does all that. He hits the ball further than Tiger did. Yeah. Like, why does nobody care?
Because we've seen it before,
such
I guess.
Such a weird thing.
Because we've seen it. That's about where it goes.
That's where this goes for about last night.
I want to go back to to Lewis Riddick 2 days ago. We played it yesterday. And what he said about Shedeur Sanders. Because Lima, I told some people I got some phone calls yesterday. Lima got a phone call yesterday after the show. And I think that we need to just have a little quick discussion here on Shedeur Sanders and why some of these teams might be feeling this way about him. Here's Lewis Riddick on ESPN First Take a couple of days ago. Hit it.
Shedeur is someone who wants to be collaborative. He is someone that you want to talk with. He doesn't like to be told just, this is the way we're going to do things, okay, and then you're just going to need to fall in line. He's earned that right because of the way he has played. This young man is going to be just fine. And you know what? I hope he doesn't go in the top three picks. I hope he doesn't. And I think his camp would tell you the same thing.
I think there's some teams that don't agree with Lewis Riddick. They don't believe he's earned it. I think they look at guys like, I think they look at a guy like Andrew Luck at the beginning of his career. He might have earned it. Manning might have earned it. Elway might have earned it. I think that Patrick Mahomes, after his second season, which was his first season, earned it. I don't think Patrick Mahomes had the collaborative part of it. That's difficult to do. Like, when you bring in a number one overall pick, like Caleb Williams, it may very well be collaborative. Number one overall, you do it with a bullet, there it is. Arch Manning someday, maybe it'll be collaborative. We'll see how this all pans out with him. But when you're not the number one with a bullet, I don't know how collaborative it is. I bet it's more collaborative with Tennessee and Cam Ward because you know he's the number one before you know anything with Shedeur Sanders. So if you're going in and expecting it to be, hey, we're going to work together, you're not going to tell me what to do. Well, wait a minute. If some of these guys, and I hate to overuse it, if some of us have second round grades on you, no, you did not earn that. No, you did not. And because Shedeur Sanders has been coached by the best, there just might be, in the words of Brad Childress, a programmatic non-fit with a lot of organizations out there, because you received a call yesterday where there's some teams that, no, absolutely not. They want nothing to do with him.
Well, and we had heard.
And that's maybe how he rubbed some people the wrong way at the combine.
Yeah, remember, we had heard that, and me and you kind of rolled our eyes because we're like, oh, is this the typical over-analysis that we get? But, you know, these teams, the way that they're not all progressive.
Yeah.
You know, some of the teams, depending on who their coach is or their situation, you know, they want a guy to fit in and not necessarily, you know, try to dictate the situation, come in with a lot of personality. Me and you loved certain things about his personality and how he was able to deal with the circus.
Yeah.
That was kind of created by the dad and, to be fair, him, you know, at Colorado, not necessarily for bad reasons. I mean, they did every interview. They did 60 Minutes. They did everything they could to get eyeballs on the program. Well, the NFL, that's not going to be welcome in most buildings, especially before you win. Most buildings, they want you, when you come to training camp, you know, you're not going to be treated special. You're going to be staying in the dorm rooms in Latrobe or wherever. You know what I mean? Like, they are not going to allow you to be that flashy circus at the next level. So I am curious about that because his film, by just his actual film, there's a lot of good things there. There's not third round. I've heard some people tweet us, why are you guys talking about a guy who should be a third round pick if his last name was anything different? The film doesn't actually show that. The film is of a guy who should be in the discussion for a lot of these teams who don't have a quarterback at the top of the draft.
Yes, I totally
agree.
So
what else could be holding them back?
I think these teams are
afraid.
And I think that some of these teams, you know, you look at an organization like the Browns, and this is absolutely speculative because I think there's other teams like that. You know, their history with handing the keys over to a quarterback too soon, it's bit them. It's really got them. Deshaun Watson was not ready to take over this organization, and they gave him everything. And certainly at the time, and I know Baker people get upset about hearing this, but even the Baker people can't deny this. Baker himself has admitted he was not ready to have the amount of power that he was given when he was first taking over the organization. So there are guys where it's collaborative and they are not ready for it to be collaborative. And I think that a team's history, because, hey, general managers come and go, but they talk to each other. And there's also situations where owners are staying. So it might make an organization, because owners are more connected to this. I know we always pay attention to Jimmy, but owners are more connected to this than we any of us want to admit in all the other places. We just care about one team and how interactive he is with this team. But they're always going to be in there, and they're always going to think about the history of former players that they had. The ones that did work out, how they can shape players in that image, and the ones that didn't work out, and how they can avoid that. And you have history, a general manager has history, that he may not be a part of, that he has to talk an owner out of. He has to talk a team president out of. Other people out of those things. So if Shador, who dealt with a lot of controversy, not his fault, but came out on the other side and go, wait a minute, I took Jackson State from here to there. I took Colorado, the worst P5 program, at 1-11. I took them from them to a bowl game. 2 years. 2 years. Travis Hunter, part of the reason he's a Heisman Trophy winner, me. He can say that. But to an NFL guy, you know what? We might have some history here. We might not want to do it because you might be great, but you still need to do this. Are you willing to unlock your mind, unlock what you've been previously taught to get to that level? And if they don't believe that he's willing to do that because he might not have the physical tools to already overcome that, he drops in the draft to some of those folks. 216-474-0092. By the way, I said to you, Abdul Carter's medicals came back clear, according to Adam Schefter. He had a medical recheck in Indy today. Or yesterday, showed that the stress reaction in his foot is healing. There has been improvement and no surgery will be needed, per his agent Drew Rosenhaus. Quote, it should be a non-factor with the teams at this point, Rosenhaus said. And you said what?
Well, that's what the agent is telling us. That's good to hear, I guess. Drew has been saying this throughout the entire process. Nothing to see here, nothing to see here. And I'm almost like, why does he need to keep reinforcing that there's nothing to see here? Like, it wouldn't even be, if it were truly a non-issue, right? Just wouldn't be brought up anymore, right? If he was, and I wonder what kind of,
well,
does he feel?
I disagree.
I wonder
you
if
you can't
he,
just deny answers on that.
I wonder if he feels like this has become an issue and he has to keep addressing it.
Well,
the way that he has.
I think,
do they not, you know, we keep wondering about who has guarantees, who doesn't. You know, people keep telling us, people were telling us through the process that, oh, Abdul Carter is a safe pick.
Albert Breer, Tuesday afternoon on Afternoon Drive here, that 92.3 The Fan.com.
I just wondered, is Drew Rosenhaus, is he not getting anything from the Browns either? And it just, everything keeps coming back to me wondering if the Browns are trading out of this pick. I don't think we'd hear from Drew Rosenhaus if number two, Abdul Carter, was the guy. Like if they had had kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because obviously he'll be there. He's not going to be the number one overall pick. So he's going to be there. And for Drew Rosenhaus to go public at all about his client, like, you wouldn't need to if he knew the Browns were taking him at two. So clearly he
doesn't. Did you just give us your plan for what they should do, or do you think that this is what the Browns very well will do?
Yeah, I've been wondering if, you know, it's never the sexy thing to do. And in the past, I've always been against trading down. Like, go get the guy. Go get the signature guy. And I just keep coming back to wondering if that's not this draft. And I've been looking at Mason Graham for a long time as being definitely a safe pick, right? Mm. Normally, safe pick is sucks. Safe pick sucks. Normally, an offensive lineman or a defensive tackle. But I can't find anybody that thinks that he's not going to be amazing for the next 10 years. And there are a lot of people that will,
I think he'll be a really solid defensive, a high-end defensive tackle for the next 10 years. I don't know about amazing, but I think he'll be.
If you can squeeze another pick in this draft and another pick in next year's coveted draft and get a really good player for the next decade. And I hate doing it. I've always been against the stuff that I'm saying now. I've always been against it, especially when the Browns have done it.
Yeah.
And no, there's not going to be a huge celebration in this town if they trade down and go get Mason Graham. But I'm starting to wonder if that isn't the smartest move of all.
New bleep has come to light, my friend. I didn't realize you felt this way.
You got to find another team that's willing to do it
let's bring,
and trade up, which is not easy.
Let's